Today, the title is How to Be Healed. I know that's what this is. It's a healing school. I teach a subject like this twice a month, and I teach a different healing school every time. I have never taught two healing schools in 5 years exactly the same. I do cover lots of different information. But last night, I sat down with God's Word when I got home about 11. I got home about 11 o'clock last night, and I sat down with God's Word, and by 2 a.m. this morning, this outline came to be. It's 18 pages long. And I'm going to cover as much of it as I can, and I went through the Word of God and looked up a lot of stuff, and this is what you must know. Now then, you must absolutely know what the will of God is in the matter of healing to be able to receive by faith what is yours. Now this is a secret. If you don't know what is yours, you cannot receive by faith something you don't know that's yours. Now, that's where I was most of my life. That's why that from 0 to 45 in my years, I had no idea that Jesus Christ healed me on the cross 2,000 years ago. I didn't know that. So by not knowing that, I could not receive something by faith that was mine. Now then, that's just like trying to do something as an engineer or whatever you do. You cannot go beyond your knowledge of any subject on this earth. I don't care if you're a lady, that's all you do, and it's a wonderful job to be a housewife and be able to stay home, and if all you do is cook and wash and do the things that a lot of wonderful ladies do, if somebody hasn't trained you or showed you how to cook, you cannot cook. I mean, if mother didn't show you, I mean, whenever that girl and that boy gets married, if she was raised up in a home where mother never took time to teach that girl how to cook, that love only lasts through the honeymoon. After that, when they come home, that boy's going to want something to eat, you know, and he's going to want a woman that knows how to cook. And if she don't know how to cook, then he's going to have to learn how to cook. Or there's going to be a problem. In some cases, a lot of men today are learning how to cook because the girls are not taught by their mothers how to cook. And that's sad. But you cannot go beyond knowledge. And the Word of God is no different. You cannot go beyond knowledge. You must be taught what the Word of God says before you can have the great faith to receive from God. Now, you have to have faith. Now, I've heard a lot of people say, well, if I didn't receive from God, I didn't have faith. And I've had people tell me, Thurman, you don't go into a place and tell my people because they don't have faith, it's because they don't have something. Well, I'm going to tell you, that's what Jesus said. I mean, I'm just repeating everything I'm going to tell you today is a repeat of what Jesus said. So if you can't believe what Jesus said, then you got a problem. And that's where we are. But you cannot have the faith that you need to receive from God healing until you've had the Word of God about healing sown in your heart. And that's why at a healing school, I teach from 3 to 5 hours at a healing school. And many times I've had people like Marilyn. Marilyn, she's not here today, but she came to either 3 or 4 healing schools before her faith. She had had emphysema for 20 years. After it was either the 3rd or the 4th one, she finally came. Of course, her husband had, you know, he said, you know, you're not going to get healed. And she said, yes, I am. She said, I see people get healed down there every month when I go. So she said, I don't know what I've done wrong, but I'm going to keep going and I'm going to receive my healing. Well, she came, and I think it was a 4th time, just a few months ago, when she came up for prayer that day, she said, Thurman, I have confessed every sin. I know the Word of God is true. And so I know today is my day to be healed from emphysema. Now, was she saying the right things? Yes, she was. Her faith was there. So I reached up and touched her and said, be healed in the name of Jesus. And that woman was completely instantly healed of 20 years of emphysema. She can now go do everything she wants to do. But God's a faith God. I mean, why didn't he heal her the first time? I prayed for her every month. But why didn't she get healed? Because there was not sufficient faith there. She had not spent enough time building her faith, not spent enough time sowing the seeds of the Word of God into her spirit and her mind to be able to receive from her King what was rightfully hers. Because the kingdom of God is a kingdom of faith. You must know it and believe it. Now then, so if you have to have this great and awesome faith, how does faith come? People said, come up to me all the time and said, Thurman, pray for me that I'll have great faith like you have. I said, that's not a scriptural prayer, so I can't do that. There's nowhere in the Word of God where the Lord told us to pray for faith. He said that faith, in Romans 10:17, he says, faith cometh by hearing, and by hearing the Word of God. Psalms chapter 107, verse 20, the Lord says, and he sent forth his word and healed them. So if he sent forth his word and healed them, then you must have the Word of God in you, because if you come to a healing school and you hear these mighty promises that I'm going to go over today and everything that Jesus done for you on the cross, the devil is going to have a hard time deceiving you from this day forth. If you'll believe just everything I'm going to teach you today, he will have a very difficult time of deceiving you. And when you learn what's rightfully yours, you'll be able to do just exactly what I did. In fact, the day that I got a hold of this magnificent word up here on this logo that says sozo, that happened about 20 years ago. When I learned that the word sozo means all five of those words in red: saved, healed, made whole, delivered, and preserved. When I learned that word meant that, that's the night that my faith came to a level to walk in divine health. When I learned that Jesus did all those things for me on the cross, when those became a revelation to me from the Word of God, I said, Lord, tonight I receive you as my healer, and from this day forth, I am made whole, and I will never have another sick day in my life. And in 20 years, 65 years old today, I can do anything I could do when I was 35 years old, and I guarantee I blow and go all the time. I'm up night and day, and I know no limitations, and I have not had one sick day in 20 years. Now then, what does God do for you by faith? Whatever you can grasp. You don't have to be sick no more. As a Christian, Jesus came not only to save you, but he came to heal you. He came to make you whole. He didn't come to make you sick and afflicted and torment you. He came and made you whole on the cross 2,000 years ago, and he's waiting for you to receive by faith what he already has done. Technically speaking, we should never have to have anyone pray for us for healing. When we get a hold of the fact that what happens is when we sin, or when our parents sin, or when our grandparents sin, or when our great-great-grandparents sin, four generations back opens the door to the demonic world for Satan to come along to torment you, according to the Word of God. So when you say you're coming along and you're a young person, 15, 20, 25 years old, and you should in no wise, your physical body should in no wise be nothing but perfect when you're that age. But let's say that you start coming down with sickness, disease, cancer, or whatever. Maybe you're only 5 years old. Maybe you're only 3 months old. Or maybe like the little girl the other day, it was 4 weeks old and her liver's failing. Amazing, isn't it, how that we think. I used to question, Lord, I don't understand how you can make a precious little body like that and in 30 days the liver fails. There's something wrong. You know how long a liver should last? 120 years. Easy. No problem. If that body is taken care of, but if the sins of the fathers are passed to the children, to the third and the fourth generation, then our sins open the door to Satan and his demonic host to come in to kill, steal, and to destroy. So when you get a case like this precious little 3 or 4 week old baby girl the other day that was rushed to the hospital, liver failing, and a doctor, after he checked her, he told the mother, said, you better spend some time with your baby, because in a matter of a few days, your baby's liver will quit functioning and your baby will die. There's nothing we can do. So one of the ladies that comes to this church and had been here for a year and a half, and she knew these principles. She knew that her relative had brought this little girl in an illicit sex affair. She knew the adultery had been done, and she knew that was a sin, and she knew that had opened the door to the demonic world, and she knew that girl, which was a Baptist Christian, would have to repent. Now, she had never been taught this in her Baptist church. Although she went to church, if she had been taught much about holiness, she would have known she should have never went to bed with a boy that she wasn't married to. I think everybody kind of technically knows that. But we don't realize there's a super consequence to breaking the laws of God. But there is. So she had transgressed the law. She had opened the door to the demonic world. Satan had come in to kill this little girl. And she's 3 or 4 weeks old and she's dying. When Gloria got her relative to repent and move out and make God a promise she'd not have any more sex with that boy unless she married him first, which she did after she repented. Then Gloria goes in and the little baby's under glass, so she goes up and she puts her hands on the glass and she acts on Mark 16, 17, and 18. Now in Mark chapter 16, verse 17 and 18, the Word of God makes us a promise. Jesus himself said, he's getting ready to go back to heaven. He said, "And these signs shall follow those that believe." Now, you've got to be a believing believer. You've got to act on God's word. Now then, once the sin had been repented of, now the demon can be cast out. So Gloria quoted those verses, Mark 16, 17, and 18, where Jesus said, "And these signs shall follow those that believe. In my name you shall drive out devils or demons." So she went up and laid her hands over the glass, couldn't get to the little baby, and told the devil that his legal right to this little girl had been removed, and he had to leave in the name of Jesus. And so she commanded that demon of infirmity that was killing that little girl to leave. Now she said, "Father, in the last part of verse 18, you told me to lay hands on the sick and they'll recover." So she said, "Lord, I can't get in there to this little baby, but I'm by faith laying my hands on this child." Now, by faith, you don't have to touch them. But she did it by faith. And as she did that, within 1 hour, that little girl was completely well. And today, from October to today, that little girl is back at home doing wonderfully well. Now, what was causing the death of that little child? The legal right of the devil because of the mother's sin. People do not realize that their sins are passed to their children and their grandchildren and their great-grandchildren up to 4 generations. Now, that's very clearly laid out in God's Word, but it's obvious that people don't believe that. Most mothers and fathers today don't believe that their sin will be carried over to their children, because I know mothers and fathers that do all kinds of things wrong. They belong to the wrong organizations. They do all kinds of things that they're not supposed to do. I know daddies that go out and commit sex acts with women when they're out of town, thinking there's no consequence, and then they wonder why their next child is born with cerebral palsy. There's a reason for everything. Nothing just accidentally happens. You want to raise a good child or a good family, mamas and daddies, it is required that you walk holy before God. It is a requirement in God's Word. So, as we go on down here, Romans 10:17 told us what to do. And then Romans 12:2 says, "And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." Now today, the average Christian is very, very deeply conformed to the world. If you don't believe that, you go to their home. And when you go to their home, and you go in, and I go in to minister to people all the time, and I go to people's homes, and when I get there, they're sick and afflicted, and they're sitting there watching soap operas on TV. Let me tell you, for those of you that know what a soap opera is, I've never even passed through one of those in a flipping from one channel to another and stop and watch 10 or 15 seconds, and all it is evil. I mean, it's somebody living with somebody else, somebody having somebody else's baby, somebody lying about somebody, somebody killing somebody. There ain't nothing in those things that glorify God. Not a single thing. So what you put into your heart is what's going to come out of your mouth. And so if you conform to the world, I can assure you that you will have sickness and disease and you will not be able to walk free on this earth. Now, I turned the television off many years ago. I turned the radio off many years ago. I haven't picked up a newspaper other than just glance at the headlines in many a year. I don't feed anything into myself except the Word of God. Now, I will have to say this morning, after somebody called me and said, "Are you going to have the healing school?" And I said, "Well, sure. why not? And they said, well, didn't you get any snow? I said, well, I haven't looked outside yet. And so I was busy running around the house doing things. I didn't look out. So I went to a window and looked out. And I said, yep, looks like 3 or 4 inches of snow. But I said, we're going to be there. I said, I may be the only one there, but I can assure you I will be there. So nothing keeps me down. I mean, so I said, I'm going to be here. So the thing about it is, I did turn on the TV after that and turned on Channel 8 because I know that's a local VHF station, and all they had on was news. And so they were talking about the overpasses and everything, pretty good shape. The highways are going, everything good. I thought, no problem. So I ain't going to have any problem at all. I watched about 2 minutes of it and turned it off and went about doing all my things and then got everything loaded up and come running down here. And so I didn't have a single problem. So that's about my extent of watching TV. I do watch a little Christian television when I have time, but that's getting to be less and less. I just don't have time anymore for those kind of things. Now then, the Word of God is a seed that must be planted in your heart or your spirit before it can produce a crop. You got to have seed sown. Now let's put it this way. If you're going to have a garden, and probably many of you have raised a garden in your life, like I have raised a lot of different gardens and things, or especially in fields of grain or whatever, oats or wheat or stuff like that. If I'm planning to raise a crop, the first thing I do, I go out there and take my tractor and my plow, and I go across the field and I get it in good shape, get it all plowed up and smooth and everything, and then I come back and I sow seed. Now then, if I want to have a great abundant crop, and if I want to have a real, real good return on my investment, I don't go out there and plant 5 pounds of seed to the acre. You know, I plant a whole lot more than that. Now, if I want to just have a little bitty crop, I might plant five pounds of seed to the acre. But if you plant 80 or 100 pounds to the acre, the chances of having a much better crop is there. So now then, the seed is the Word of God. Now then, this is the problem with the church today, I've come to understand, just like I was. Since the seed is the Word, which must be sown in my heart, and it must stay in there. Just a few years ago, if you'd asked me, Thurman, can you quote me 5 verses and tell me book, chapter, and verse? I'd have had a difficult time doing that just 15 or 20 years ago. But today, I have hidden hundreds of them in my heart, many of them, and I don't even know how many. I really don't know. I mean, it's times, just like the other day when I went to Gatesville last weekend, last Saturday, I was at Gatesville. I was teaching a healing school. The pastor wanted me to come down there and teach a healing school. He wanted me to start at 9:30. I started at 9:30. We went all the way till 12, and we took a lunch break, and we were in there about an hour, and then we came out, and I taught 2 more hours. I taught 5 solid hours of intensive teaching. And I opened my Bible. I took no notes, no outlines, no nothing. And I opened my Bible one time to read 2 verses, and I could have quoted them also. But for 5 hours of intensive teaching, I didn't even have to have a Bible with me. I had it all up here and in here. Now then, you want to know what you must do to be able to overcome the enemy and walk in divine health. Well, first thing, you got to sow this seed in your heart. And that's what we're doing today. The seed. Now then, I want to go to Matthew 13, start with verse 19, and I'm going to talk a little bit about this seed. Now then, it says, when anyone heareth the word of the kingdom and understandeth it not, what? When anyone heareth the word of the kingdom, the word of God, and understandeth it not. How many people do you know that when they hear the word, they don't understand it? They didn't get it. Lots of people live there. Because they're in church and they're either not paying attention, they're thinking about what they're going to fix for dinner, or thinking about the football game that I'm going to miss if this preacher don't get through right quick. And so they don't understand it. So let's see what happens when you hear the word of the kingdom and you understandeth it not. It says, then cometh the wicked one. Who do you think that is? The devil. Then cometh the devil, or one of his demons, and he catcheth away that which was sown in your heart. This is he which receives seed by the wayside. You see this seed? The Word of God is being sown in your heart. Some preacher's preaching. The devil's there trying to get you to think about something else. And, oh, he's good at that. He's real good at that. So if you can not understand or not hear, if the devil can get you there. In fact, I went over to a deacon's house one time. This man was sick. He had missed a couple of Sundays of church, and I asked one of the guys, I said, you know where Brother So-and-so's at? And I said, he's always here. He said, oh, yeah, he's been sick the last couple of Sundays. I said, well, good grief, I'll go over there and get him healed in the name of Jesus. I mean, you know, I'm not a normal Southern Baptist, you know. I'm not a normal Southern Baptist. Praise God, I'm not a normal Southern Baptist. But anyway, I went over and to his house, and I said, brother, I said, I understand you're sick. Oh, yeah, he said, Thurman. Now, this guy's been a deacon for 50 years in a Baptist church. He was a Sunday school teacher. He loved God with all his heart, him and his wife both. And I said, before I pray over you, I want to call God in remembrance of one of his promises. He said, well, I never heard anybody say that. But he said, well, okay. I said, I'm going to quote to you this book, chapter and verse. And I quoted him James 5:14. I said, now James 5:14, the Word of God says, is any sick among you? I said, now who does that include in the church? All of us. Is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him and anoint him with oil. And the prayer offered in faith. Now, not just a prayer, but the prayer offered in faith will make the sick person well. He said, Thurman, what kind of a foreign Bible are you reading out of? And I said, well, sir, it's a King James. His wife sitting right over there, she said, now look, Thurman, I have read the New Testament 6 times. And that's not in my Bible. I looked over there on her lap and I said, ma'am, you got it open to Hebrews right now. I said, won't you turn just a few pages to the right and tell me what James 5:14 says in your book? And so she flips over a few pages and she gets to James 5:14. She says, is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders and let them anoint him with oil. And honey, that's what it says. Now, how do you think she had missed that reading it 6 times? When she began to approach that, your answer here is in Matthew 13. When she began to approach that, there was a demon slipped up on her. And this is what the demon done. He come up to her and he said, you got to wash the dishes in a little while. Don't forget, you got to wash it. And you hadn't done the laundry. And so all these thoughts are coming to her mind. And while she's reading and those thoughts are there, you don't retain what you read when those thoughts come to your mind. And the devil knows this. So by the time she gets by those verses, he said, I got her by that one more time. I don't want her to learn these promises in God's Word. Because people that learn these promises get dangerous. Now who had stolen the Word of God from her every time she read it? The wicked one. He had stolen that away from her. So this is a great lesson when you sit down to sow the seed in your heart. This is the first thing you need to realize. I am a son or a daughter of the King of the universe. I have power over you, Satan. I rebuke you, devil. Every demon of hell, I rebuke you in the name of Jesus, and I command you to get out of my house and to not a single demon stay in here to steal a single word out of my heart in Jesus' name. Now, devil, get out. Somebody said, well, that would be stupid. I can't see him. I guarantee you can't see him, but I guarantee he's there. That devil's here. I mean, you can't see them things. You can only see the results of what they do. But just like the other day, a woman, you want to know what a demon does? There's a woman come to me the other day. She was crying right here in this church. She said, my husband had been out of town a few days and said, just having the carpet cleaned or something. And had a couple of guys there cleaning the carpet, and he come in and he was just madder than a wet hen because she is having that. She said, but honey, I'm not having to pay for it. They said they'd do the one room for free just to show. I just going to let them do one room. She said, he turned and looked at me and he said some wicked things to me. And she said, I tell you, if I ever saw the devil, I saw the devil in his eyes. I said, sure. That's exactly what it was. But I said, you know what you should have done? She said, what? I said, you should have turned and looked him right in the eye and put your finger right in his face and said, you devil of hell, I'm a daughter of the King and I rebuke you in the name of Jesus and I command you to shut your mouth. I said, if you'd have done that and you'd have done it in total faith, that demon would have withdrawn and he would have backed off. I said, there's no man in his right mind loving his wife is going to come in and scream at his wife and do those kind of things. I said, when that happens, that's a demon living in your husband. I said, so you need to realize, if you walk holy before God, according to this Bible, you have total, complete power over the demonic host. Only do they have power over you when you step into unbelief and sin. Now, when you do that, they come in to kill, steal, and to destroy. And there's many a person out there today that has a demon or a herd of them living in them. And when some little simple something like this happens, that demon will manifest and that person will blow up and say things and do things, and nobody seems to understand what's going on. Well, let me tell you, I've learned what's going on. It's the devil. And you've got power over him. You don't have to listen to that beast no more. So he will come and steal this seed right out of your heart. That's his total goal, is to steal the seed, which is the Word of God, out of your heart. Now, what's so unfortunate, so many people have no seed sown in their heart when it comes to divine healing. I mean, if you're like I was and raised up in a Baptist church, and I don't know what kind of church you were raised in, but many churches do not ever talk about healing. They never pray for the sick. Well, some of them say, well, anybody sick? Sister so-and-so's sick. Well, let's pray for them. And I can go up and ask him after the prayer, do you believe they're healed? Well, if it's God's will, he's going to heal them. You know? I mean, he's sovereign. He's going to do what he wants to do. I'm going to tell you, with that kind of attitude, you are never going to see God do nothing in your church. It is not going to happen. I lived there 45 years of my life, and I never saw God do anything. Just like a woman that come to the healing school just a few months ago, she came in here. And I don't remember the people this happens to, but if this woman happens to be here today, you can hold up your hand. She came in here and she said, I have been down with my back for many years. And I go to a chiropractor on a regular basis. And she said, oh, this is her right here. Okay, this is her. And she said, at least 100 people have prayed for me, and I have never been healed. I said, woman, you never expected God to do anything, and nobody ever prayed for you in faith. And I said, now, I'm going to pray for you in faith, but I said, you got to expect God to do something. And I think it startled her that day because I wasn't very easy on her at all. But I prayed for that day expecting her to do something. And what did God do for you, young lady? He healed you. She has not had any pain or been to no chiropractor since that day. But yet you'd had that problem how many years?
30 years.
30 years.
I've been going to the chiropractor 1 to 5 times a week for 23 years.
Wow. 1 to 5 times a week, you'd been to a chiropractor for all those years, and you'd had 100 people pray for you, and you'd never got free, and you came to a healing school, and I told you what God says, and in one prayer and one belief, and you get healed. Isn't God wonderful? Now, that is He a faith God? Does He demand that you believe His Word? I mean, now just think. Now, this lovely little lady right here, I mean, she's a little Christian lady. She goes to church. And all those people that prayed for her, nobody expected God to do what He had promised to do, and she didn't either. And so, because she didn't expect it, nothing happened. All those years, she had been down with her back and going to all those places, and nothing happened. You got a question?
Yeah.
Okay, let me get a mic here so it'll be on the tape, because if we don't have this on there, they won't be able to hear it on the tape.
Thurman, can you just elaborate a little bit on if it's God's will?
Oh, okay. Yeah, I'm going
to... I really need that son to hear.
Okay. Well, I'll tell you what, that's just a little bit further down in my outline. But I am going to talk about that in detail. But I will put this statement in right here. If you don't know what God's will is about a subject, don't pray. Don't pray. Go to the Word of God first and plant the seed in your heart. And that's what we're here for healing today. So many people today think it's God's will to heal some, sometimes, and some others. Now, almost all people that are Christians knows that God is capable of healing. But will He heal me? That was the problem with this precious little lady right here. Well, I don't know if that's true, but that was a statement she said, I've been prayed for at least 100 times. That was a statement she made that day. And nothing has ever happened. Well, I told her, I said, nobody has ever prayed for you in faith. Nobody's ever expected God to do anything. And I said, you've not expected God to do nothing. And when you tell people that, it startles them. So I said, after the healing school, with the promises, her faith had been built to the level which it needed to be. And when she came up for prayer, she says, I'm going to expect it, and I believe it. And I said, well, woman, I'm going to pray for you in faith. So if I pray in faith and you expect, I said, we can't miss. And so God healed her. Isn't it wonderful? It's wonderful not to have that back problem after all those years, isn't it? Isn't Jesus wonderful? It changed your whole life. Isn't God wonderful?
Amen.
But here's the thing you've got to know. God is a faith God. You got to know His will. So if you pray that faith-destroying phrase, if it be your will, He ain't going to do nothing for you. Now, there's a very few places you can pray if it be your will. Now, there is some prayers that you can pray if it be your will. But one of them is not healing. One of them is not healing. The will of God is always, every time, 100% of the time, to heal every one of His children. Because according to the word sozo, He healed us on the cross 2,000 years ago, just like He saved us. Now, very rarely will you ever find a church today that will not agree with Romans 10, 8, 9, and 10, where the word sozo is used in the Greek, but it's translated saved in the English version. Where nearly every church, and I'm thankful for this, that almost every church I've ever been in, regardless of the denomination, will say that we believe that anyone that comes to Christ and accepts Him as their Savior, that's when they confess Him with their mouth and believe in their heart that the Father sent Him to be the sacrifice for your sin and then raised from the dead so that you can be saved. If you'll confess that with your mouth and believe that with your heart, you will be saved. Almost every denomination out there today believes that by confession and belief we are saved. But the same word is used and translated healing. So if you get that, and the night I learned that, I mean, I'd been in the Word of God hours looking up that word sozo, and that word sozo is used 120 times in 103 verses in the Greek text. So when I went back and read every verse from Matthew to Revelation and read them all, I mean, I just told the Lord, I said, Lord, I mean, if this book means what it says, You not only saved the whole world 2,000 years ago, You healed the whole world 2,000 years ago, You made us whole, preserved us, and delivered us 2,000 years ago. I said, Lord, why, if that's true, and it appears to be, I said, why in the world have I been sick so many times since I accepted You as my Lord and Savior when I was 11 years old? And He spoke to me in an audible voice. He said, son, the reason you've been sick is because you have never received me as your healer from faith in my word. I said, Lord, I have to do everything by faith. He said, if you get it, that's the only way to please me. Well, that's exactly what the Word of God says in Hebrews 11:6. Without faith, it's impossible to please me. That's what He said. So when you hear this audible voice in your head or heart or wherever it is, it sounds as audible as somebody's talking to you. As long as it lines up with the Word of God exactly, then you know it was a king talking to you. If it doesn't line up with the Word, then it was not the king, it was a devil. And he can do that too. He's done that to me twice in my life, but I now know how to interpret it. If it lines up with the Word, it's the Lord. Well, that night, I fell on my knees and accepted Jesus as my healer. Now, I accepted Him as my Savior when I was 11, but I cannot go beyond knowledge. The seed had not been sowed in my heart that He was also the healer. But now then, I've learned that He's the healer, and I accept Jesus approximately 20 years ago, 18 or 20 years ago, as my healer, and then I started going and telling everybody, praise God, you're looking at a man that received Jesus Christ as his healer, and I am never going to have another sick day. And people just laugh at you. People in the church, especially Baptist preachers. Thurman, give me a break. I mean, I'm a little hard on Baptist preachers because I've been in a Baptist church all my life. Now, if you're a Methodist Church of Christ or Pentecostal or whatever, that'll be okay. You know, I mean, I'm sure some of your preachers are just like mine, but I've never been a member of those denominations, so I'm not going to give your denomination a hard time. I just give mine a hard time because I am one of them. See, I feel a little more comfortable, you know, saying these things about us Baptists because I've been one of them all my life, and I know where we come from. But I think it's time that the body of Christ forget about Baptist, Methodist, Church of Christ, and all this nonsense, and let's start working together as the body. Let's start believing God's Word together. Let's forget about the doctrines of men, and let's just think about what God says. And when we think about what God says, then we get a precious little lady like this in here, sick down her back all these years, and she gets prayed for and gets healed. And that's where I want to see people go. Praise God. I mean, but I've seen her case hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of times over and over and over, just over and over and over. So the Word of God is a seed that must be sown in your heart, And when the seed gets sown in your heart and you know it's for you, then you will absolutely begin to confess with your mouth that Jesus healed you on the cross. You will begin to rebuke the devil. You will make sure your sins are confessed. That's the first secret you got to learn, is make sure you've repented. And I could not even tell you how many people I've had miraculously instantly healed at these healing schools when they only had one sin. Now, people think, sin, oh goodness, I must be running around on my maid, or I must have committed murder. No, those are terrible sins, but you don't have to be committing those kind of sins to not get healed. All you got to have is unbelief. See, this little lady here, basically her only sin was unbelief of God's word. When the seed was sown in her heart and she repented, she got healed. She was just like Sally that sat right there in that chair right there just a few weeks ago. In November, a year ago, that woman was, I was down in the Palestine teaching the Word of God that Saturday. And that was on March the 30th last year. And in November, she had been down in a car wreck and it injured her back. And she was in tremendous pain. And when she heard me teach these mighty promises, she repented of her unbelief with tears. And I just touched her in the name of Jesus and said, be healed. And the King instantly healed her. And she was right there just about two or three Sundays ago, still praising God, not a back pain or nothing since March the 30th. And that same day, there was a man sitting over on this side of the platform that had been down in his back. He was a prophet of God. He was walking in obedience to God's word every way in the world. The only thing that had kept him down for 2 years was unbelief. He heard me teach the word of God for 2 hours and 45 minutes, nonstop, and he said, God, why have I been sick for two years? Everything that man said is your word. And the Lord spoke to him. He said, because of your unbelief. He said, Lord, I repent. And that's all he had to say. We didn't even get to pray for him. The Lord instantly healed him. And that's been almost a year ago. So what will keep you from getting healed from God? Unbelief. Now then, the way to get rid of the unbelief is to sow the seed, the word of God, in your heart, because the seed, when you go out and sow seed in the ground, out there on the farm where I've lived most of my life, I go out there and I till the ground. I come back with a machine that will, a drill that will put that wheat or whatever it is in the ground. And when I put it in the ground and it covers it up, two or three days later, maybe it's a week and it hadn't come a shower, I don't go out there and start scratching in the ground, digging it up to see if it's working. I know it's working. Now, if I go out there and start digging it up, guess what? It's going to kill every one of them little seeds that I dig up. Now then, that's what this word you said a while ago. If you're digging up the seed. Every time you say, if it be your will, you just dug up your seed. Your seed will not produce if you use the word if. You got to know for healing, you got to know it's yours. And when you are assured that healing is yours, every time, I mean, it's a guarantee you never go out and dig up your seed. You do what the Word of God says. You stand on the Word. You plant the seed. You repent of your sins. You start quoting the Word of God with your mouth with no doubt in your heart. Now then, back to that little simple story I was telling you a while ago. Knowing these principles, when my granddaughter's laying on her deathbed 2.5 years ago on October the 13th, with her skull cracked in 5 places, brain stem severed, eyes disconnected, face tore all to pieces, can't even tell who she is, and many other things, knees crushed, legs broken. When I walked into the hospital, the finest doctors in the world told me, we're sorry, sir, she can't live. It's over. What does the average Christian do right there? You believe what they told you. But see, you got something better than the doctor. You got the Word of God. Now then, it just depends. Are you going to believe the Word? Well, the average person does not. They don't have the word hidden in your heart. If you don't know the promise, if the seed has not been sown in your heart, there's no crop. But when you've sown as much of the seed as I've sown in my heart, I mean, if you could see me in the spirit realm, I got green shoots that are great big sticking out all over me with great big ears of corn on them all over. I am a full-grown stalk. Now, then, if by being a full-grown stalk, all I got to do is go out there and pluck one of them ears off, take it out and put it in the pan of water and boil it, and I got something good to eat. See, first you get that little bitty tiny shoot comes out of the ground. You sow that seed, it comes up. Then you continue to read and study the Word, and you're watering it and fertilizing, and it gets bigger and bigger and bigger. Right. One day little shoots begin to come off the side of that little stalk. Right. And then one day those great big heads of corn begin to come out all over the place. And if you'll just be patient and wait and continue to let the sun and the water and the fertilizer do its work, one day you'll be able to go out there and you'll be able to pull them great big old ears of corn off of there and take them in and eat them. But you don't go out there halfway through and cut it down. You wait till it's mature. Now that's what the Word of God's going to do in your heart. You may get enough today to get healed. And I'm going to trust God that He's going to do that today if you need to be healed. But if you don't, the answer is still yes for you. It's never God's answer to say no to someone that needs to be healed. It is a guarantee from God's Word to heal every one of His children every time if you meet the criteria. But the first thing you must do is sow these seeds in your heart. Now, when those seeds are sown in your heart, who did we read comes by and takes them out? The devil. That's absolutely right. So you got to learn what you're up against. You come to a healing school. In fact, I received a revelation one day from a man. He said, I was in church. I was listening to you preach the Word of God. And he said, all of a sudden, I looked up out there, and there was a little thing sitting on a pole out there. And he said, I saw this in the spirit realm. And I said, Lord, what is that little thing? And the Lord said, that's a demon. He said, a demon? He said, yes. He said, what's he doing here? He said, he can't come in because of the power of the Holy Ghost in there. But he says, when people leave, he's attacking them and stealing the word that's being put in their heart. He's stealing the word out so they won't remember it when they go home. And he told me this, and I was blown away. The devil. He come to steal the word out of our heart. But that lines up with the scripture, doesn't it? That's exactly what God's word says. So when you sow the word in your heart, you need to realize there's a demon out there that wants to reach into your chest and get it out of you. So you need to take authority over him, command him in the name of Jesus not to steal a word out of your heart. Now then, just like this dream this lady told me about the other day. She said, I had a dream the other night, and all of a sudden there stood Jesus in all of his glory, and I was there talking to him and said, boy, was it a beautiful day. And said, all of a sudden I felt this heaviness and this depression, and everything came upon me. And she said, I said, Lord, what is this? And so she said, I turned, and there was the devil. And she said, Lord, do something to him. He's interfering with my talking with you. He said, he has nothing in me. He has nothing in me. Said, you do something. And so she said, well, Lord, all my sins are repented of. He said, okay, then do something. I told you, you have power over him on earth. So she said, I said, you devil of hell, in the name of Jesus, I command you to leave. And she said, boy, he just turned his back and he was gone in a heartbeat. She said, Thurman, I never had an experience like that. I said, good. The Lord just taught you a great thing. What he taught you lines up and exactly with the Word of God. He told you and me that he came and defeated the devil 2,000 years ago. Now when that devil comes upon us to depress us, afflict us, to make us sick, or whatever he does, all we got to do is make sure he has nothing in us. If he has nothing in us, we're not living in any kind of sin. We've confessed and repented every sin. Then we can speak to the devil in the name of Jesus, and he has to flee. Just like the man the other day, Richard Queen was his name, was sitting right there in his wheelchair, that I rebuked that cancer, and a few weeks, whatever it was, it's been a few weeks, I got that email from him this last week, and he said, praise God, I went been back to the doctor, and the cancer is completely gone. And he said, I'm now learning how to walk all over, but I'm walking. And he said, it ain't going to be long till I'm going to be back to full strength. Now, see, God's Word has guaranteed all of us healing. All we got to do is have the Word sown in our heart. He got an hour and a half. Sometimes that's not enough. Sometimes you have to have more than that. But the Word has to be sown in your heart. Now then it says here, when we go on down about sowing this seed in our hearts, I'm going to have to skip some of the verses that I was going to teach them because I can already see we've been going 45 minutes already and I'm just page one. And I got 18 pages. So when I sit down to make these pages and these outlines, I think, my goodness, Lord, I've got to have enough to talk on at 3 or 4 hours. And so 2 o'clock this morning, I just laid down and went to bed after making these 18 pages. And I said, Lord, I'm going to trust you that you can make these 18 pages last 3 hours. Well, at this rate, we're going to have to, wow, praise the Lord. Then he says here, let's see, one of the verses I want to talk about another parable he put forth unto them, saying, the kingdom of heaven, and this is also in that same chapter of Matthew 13, but it's in verse 31. He said, the kingdom of heaven is like to a grain of mustard seed, which a man took and sowed in his field, which indeed is the least of all seeds, but when it is grown, it is the greatest among herbs, and becomes a tree, so that the birds of the air come and lodge in the branches thereof. Now then, the Word of God is like that seed. As you sow the Word of God in your heart, you may have absolutely no faith. You may have this tiny little seed, but as the seed of the kingdom is sown in your heart and you learn these great and mighty principles, it grows up into a great and mighty tree in you, and nothing will become impossible with you. Now, that's the Lord showing us all these mighty things now. And he goes in and talks about all kinds of stuff there, about all these different seeds that's put in there. Now then, there's some awesome things all the way down through verse 43. If you want to sit down and meditate on those are really great examples of the seed of the kingdom. There's many of them, but I don't have time to cover every one of them in detail. But here's the overall scope of this. The Word of God is a seed, and it must be planted in your heart to produce a harvest. And you must have that seed planted and sown over and over and over. And you must continue to... Faith comes by hearing. It doesn't come by hearing one time. Faith comes by hearing and hearing and hearing and hearing and hearing and hearing. So that's why you need to quote God's Word over and over and over and over. You must wake up in the morning and say, I am a son of God. I am a daughter of the King. Jesus is my Lord. So this is the mystery that was hidden before the foundation of the world. Colossians 1:27. Christ in me, the hope of glory. And Colossians 2:3. So if all the secrets of the universe are hidden in him, and he's in me, then nothing shall be impossible with me. Just like Paul said in Philippians 4:13. Every secret of the universe is hidden in me. So Lord, God in me. I wake up this morning, Christ is in me, the hope of glory. I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. Thank you for your benefit package, Lord, in Psalms 103. Psalms 103 says, you forgive all of my iniquities. You heal all of my diseases. You save me from the destruction. You satisfy my mouth daily with good things. And you renew my youth daily like the eagles. Wow. And then you get on down there to verse 20. And he said, and he's... The angels of God hearken to the Word of God which is spoken in the earth. How is the Word of God spoken in the earth today? Out of your mouth. As you speak the Word of God, the angels will hearken to it to make it come to pass for you. To think we got these magnificent beings, these beings of radiant grandeur that is there waiting for you and me to speak the Word of God so they can help us, so they can do mighty things for us. And most of us go through life and never learn this. Never call on one of them. I think about this story right here in Dallas a few years ago. My wife was watching the news one night and she told me about this. She said, honey, I want you to tell me what happened. She said that there was a lady that was going to go home, she said, and she was going to cut through an alley, and it was late. It already after dark, and she thought, well, I hate to go through that alley. But she said, Lord, watch over me and protect me in Jesus' name. She just made that little statement. So she goes walking through this alley, and she gets up here, and all of a sudden she's startled. She sees in the little cutout there where the trash cans go, there's a man standing there. But he don't say a word. So she just walks right on by, and she goes on home. The next day, she reads in the newspaper where that 20 minutes after she went through there, another woman came through there, and that woman was raped and brutally murdered right there in that alley. They said, if anybody saw anybody in this area about that time last night, come down. We have picked up 3 or 4 or 5 men that were hanging around that area and come down and see if you know or can recognize any of these men. Well, this woman, she went down there. And when she went down there, sure enough, here was the man she saw standing there. And she said, I saw that man right there where that woman was killed 20 minutes before. And whenever she said that, he confessed up that he was the one that done it. And she said, sir, I need to ask you a question. If you were the one that done that, why didn't you attack me when I walked through? He looked at her and said, woman, are you crazy? And she said, well, what do you mean? He said, there was two big men right behind you. Now, who do you think those guys were? Angels of God. Had she asked the Lord to watch over her and protect her in the name of Jesus? Since he's a faith God, if you ask him to do that, what does he do? He does it. And you may not be able to see them, but when somebody comes to harm you, they will be able to see them. These are these magnificent beings of grandeur that are called angels that are sent to minister to you and I, just like Hebrews 1:14 says. So don't hesitate to call on these big boys in the name of Jesus. They're there to help you do great and wonderful things, and I've had them help me many times. Tangible things I've had them help me do. It's absolutely awesome what angels will do for you by faith. Praise the Lord. He is awesome. Now then, so you must have God's word in your heart before you can be healed. It must become a reality to you that Christ healed you on the cross 2,000 years ago. Now then, trying to be healed before you know what God's word, what God's will is like trying to raise a crop of wheat in a field before you sow the seed. If you do not sow the seed, you will never get a crop. Can you imagine me sitting out on the porch of my house looking over my field and I go out there and plow it? I go through all the stuff, but I never put no seed out, and I back up and put my feet up and get my cold glass of iced tea, and I sit there and say, Lord, I'm waiting for the seed to come up, waiting for the crop. You know what's going to come up out there in that field? Tares. That's what's going to come. The devil, guarantee, there'll be all kinds of stuff come up, but there won't be no wheat come up, will there, Benjamin? No. You got to sow good seed. Now, the devil will sow his seed. He'll make sure that the weeds come up in your garden. And even if you sow good wheat, he'll still make sure some of the tares come up in there with it. I can assure you. One thing, I can think just recently out there in front of my house, or quite a ways up in front of my house, there about a mile, they had to take a great big wide area. They're probably 100 feet wide, and they cleaned it off all the way to Justin, and they put a great big 2 or 3 foot water pipeline into Justin. I mean, they graded that off down to the clean ground. Nobody sowed anything, so guess what came up on that entire section all the way to Justin? Weeds. That's right. Weeds. I mean, the devil, he's out there sowing his weeds. So now then, if you don't sow the Word of God in your heart and learn what is yours about healing, guess who's going to sow unbelief in your heart? The devil. Just like this precious little lady right here. That unbelief had been in her heart all those years. And all those years, she'd been down in her back going to the chiropractor 2 or 3, 4, 5, whatever she said, times a week, trying to get enough relief that she could get by. And all she needed was to get rid of her unbelief, have one man of faith, pray the prayer of faith for her, and now she hadn't had no more trouble with her back. It's still just wonderful, isn't it? It's just awesome what God does. I just praise the King because he's a faith God, and if you don't believe him, now, surely a precious little daughter like that, he wouldn't let her suffer all those years just because of unbelief. He did, didn't he? Yes, he did. But the minute you stop living in unbelief and believed him, he heals you. How long ago was that young lady?
About
January the 11th. She got healed January the 11th at the healing school. So isn't that amazing? Now then, praying without faith will not heal you. Praying without faith. Now, I used to be right there. I prayed a lot of prayers and never saw an answer. We should see an answer to every prayer we pray. Every one. When we go to the Lord, we should see it. Now, but if you pray without faith, you will not be healed. The prayer of faith, the Lord says, will save the sick. Now think about this guarantee. In other words, I think about this promise I quoted you a while ago. If this was the only thing in healing in the entire Word of God, this is the only one we would need. In James 5:14, is any sick among you? Now, if you don't know that verse, you need to hide that verse in your heart. That's one of the healing verses, which is a guarantee from God. If all the criteria is met, it'll heal you every time. I've seen people with those three verses. I've seen people raised up off their deathbeds with terminal cancer that had a few days to live when I got to them to pray for them. I've seen them raised up. I've seen one woman raised up on her deathbed with breast cancer for 2 years that her intestines were blocked, couldn't eat a bite for 3 weeks, and I spent 5 hours teaching that lovely lady and her husband the Word of God, and they happened to be Southern Baptists at the time. And she was on her deathbed. She was in her mid-50s, and this woman, she kept saying, "I am trusting Jesus to heal me." I said, "Ma'am, you missed it. Totally, completely missed it." She said, "What do you mean?" I said, "Jesus is not going to heal you." She said, but I hope he will." I said, "No, ma'am, that's wrong too. You have no seed sown in your heart." So I said, "I'm going to sit down with you. I'm going to sow seed in your heart this afternoon. So for just me and her husband," now this little woman probably weighed 80 pounds now. She is totally shriveled up. She's on her deathbed, given maybe a week left to live. Hadn't had two big colons in her blockages in her colon and her intestines, and hadn't been able to eat a bite of food for over 3 weeks. I spent 5 hours teaching that couple the Word of God, and at the end of that 5 hours, I looked over to that precious little Baptist woman, and I said, "Ma'am, my airplane leaves in 1 hour to go back to Dallas. I really need to be on it." I said, "Have you heard enough of God's Word to be healed?" And that little Baptist woman looked over at me with fire in her eyes. And she said, "I have never heard what you taught me today. But everything you said is in God's Word." She said, "You come over here and cast this demon of hell out of me right now, and I'm going to be healed right now." Do you hear any faith in that? That woman, she got a hold of the seed that had been sowed, and it had produced a crop, and it produced it in a hurry. There must have been some good fertilizer mixed with that seed that day. She must have really been good soil, because that crop grew up. I went over there and anointed that little woman with oil and commanded that demon to leave and spoke the healing power of Jesus in her, and she bounced up out of that church. She said, "I'm healed. It's done. Praise God." She went with her husband to take me to the airplane, walked all the way to the end of the terminal. We got out there. I said, "Ma'am, you got to be weak." I said, "You walked all the way down them stairs and all." She said, "No, I'm going to walk you to the end of the terminal. I am healed. It's done. Jesus is my strength." I mean, she's saying the right things. She walked back from that terminal to the car, and on the way to the house that night, I didn't know it till the next week. She said, "I said, Don, honey, I hadn't had a bite to eat in 3 weeks. I'm totally healed. Stop right there. It's the best fried shrimp dinner place in town. We're going to have shrimp dinner tonight." And she said, "I pulled in and ate every bite of it." And she said, "Everything in my body worked perfect the next morning when I woke up." What does faith do? It heals you. It sets you free. What was I doing? Sowing seed into her heart. And the seed was producing a crop. And so that's the thing you've got to do. Now then, you cannot be healed before you find out what God's will is. Now then, praying without faith will not heal you. You must never use the faith-destroying phrase, "if." Never. When you use the faith-destroying phrase, "if," that demon knows automatically that you don't know what the Word says. And since God is a faith God, I think about a man one time that came down for prayer. Now, I wasn't the pastor, but I know this guy personally. The Lord had told this man, said, "I'm going to give you a special anointing. When you lay your hands on people and you feel a fire in your hand, you'll know that there's a demon in there and you're to cast it out." So, I mean, this was a special anointing God gave this man. So he said, "I was praying for people in a place, and one day a man came down. He had a real crippling arthritis. He could just take little bitty steps like this, and he couldn't bend over at all." So he said, "He came down, and I walked up and laid my hand on him. When I did, the fire, I felt it." And I said, "Oh, there's a demon in there." So he said, "In the name of Jesus, I command this demon of infirmity to come out of you. Now, mister, see if you can bend over and touch your toes." And nothing happened. And he did it again, and nothing happened. And he did it again, and nothing happened. And he thought, well, I don't know why it didn't work. So he said, I turned to walk off. And they started taking the guy back there. And I thought, well, it wasn't God's will to heal that one. You know, I mean, this is the way we live, see? So he turns to walk off, and he said, there, I'll turn and look, and said, there stands Jesus with his finger pointed right at my nose. And he said, I look, and I said, Lord. He said, I could literally see him in the church. Nobody else could, but he said, I could. He said, I looked over. Of course, he's got a live mic on just like I have. And he says, Lord. And everybody thought, what's he talking about? And the Lord spoke to him and said, I said he would leave in my name. He said, Lord, I did everything you told me to do, and he would not leave. Now, everybody's hearing his side of the conversation. This is recorded. And the Lord says, but I said he would leave. He said, Lord, I'm telling you, I commanded the demon to leave, and he was not healed. So I just figure it's not your will to heal him. And he said, this time I knew what they must have felt like in the temple when he walked in with his ropes. He said, he looked at me, and he said, fire came out of his eyes, and he raised his voice, and he said, I said in my name he will leave. Oh, he said, I know what I done wrong. He said, bring that man back down here. And they brought that man back down there. He walked real slow. Said, I put my hand on his stomach, and there was the fire. I said, you demon of hell, come out of him in the name of Jesus. He said, now, mister, bend over and touch your toes. Jesus has healed you. And the man was totally free and totally healed. The only thing he did different, the first three times, he said, now, mister, see if you can bend over and touch your toes. And that demon knew that there was doubt in his heart, and he did not have to leave because God is a faith God, and you and I have to do everything by faith. See, knowing these things, that's why I told this little lady right here, when the 100 people prayed for you, and you've been prayed for all this time, you've never expected God to do anything, and ain't never, but nobody ever prayed in faith for you. I said, until you expect and somebody prays in faith, you're going to get nothing from God. So, I prayed in faith, and she believed. And as she sits here right here, it's nice to have a live testimony. You know, it's one, you can tell these stories, and I've got multitudes of them, but it's wonderful when one of them's here today. It's wonderful to see God do these wonderful things. That way, that's why every once in a while on my radio show, I will have people on there, because just last week or week before last, whatever it was, for 5 days, all I had was live testimonies. I had people come, sit down with me. I brought my computer in here and my microphone, and after church, we'd sit down and we'd make shows with people. I said, would you come and tell us about your miracle? Yes. So for 5 days, we had probably 7 different testimonies in 5 days on my radio show, real live people like her telling their testimonies of what God had done for them when they were prayed for. Now then, that's a little different than back in the days when I lived the first 45 years and never saw one answer to prayer. I can take a week's worth of radio shows, and that's just a touch of what I've seen. So what do you think God wants to do for us, His children? Wonderful things. He wants to heal us. But we got to sow the seed in our heart. We got to believe Him. And then we must act on His Word in faith after we make sure all of our sins are repented of. Now then, the only sin you may have is unbelief. As far as I know, this little lady here, that was really the only sin she had. She just didn't believe God. But unbelief will keep you from getting healed. You have to get rid of that unbelief, that if. In other words, if Jesus bore our sickness and removed our disease on the cross 2,000 years ago, there's no use in me and you both, or me and Him both having it. Why don't we just let Him have it? He bore it for us. Ain't that the way you look at it? Ain't no use in both of us. I mean, you know, just like the Lord clearly says, He said over there in Peter, He says, cast all your cares on me because I care for you. We go up to the cross, we talk, cry at the feet of Jesus, we cast our cares on Him, and we get up and take every one of them back with us. We don't leave them there like He told us to. If we did, we'd get up and walk out of there free. Right. If He says, cast all your cares on me, cast them on Him and go be carefree. Go and walk in obedience to His Word and no problems. Now then, that scripture that we talked about, already talked about that in great detail, about James 5, 14, 15, and 16. I want you to realize that. Let's see, we've been gone an hour and 5 minutes so far. Okay, it says, if that scripture Let me read something in that scripture in James 5. Also, I didn't quote the last part of that. Let me just read that whole thing to you. If you got your Bible there, you can follow along with me. James 5:14 says, "Is any sick among you?" That includes everybody in the church. "Let him or her call for the elders of the church, and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith shall save the sick. And the Lord shall raise him up. And if he have committed sins, they shall be forgiven him." Is that an awesome promise from our Lord? Do we live in unbelief? Yes, we live in unbelief. I have used that verse right there many times to see people healed of terminal cancer. But that's a guarantee from God. But look what the next part of that says in verse 16. "Confess your faults." Now, if you've got any sins, any unbelief or whatever it is, "Confess your faults one to another and pray one for another that you may be healed." And then look at the requirement here. "The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much." So you got to have a man that prays effectually and fervently for you. And then he's got to be a righteous man. Now then, if the man is lying, stealing, cheating from his company, sleeping around on his wife once in a while, and he's a deacon in the church, don't go ask that man to pray for you. Because I don't care if he's a deacon in the church. I don't care what he does. God knows his sin. And when he tries to stand in the throne room of God, he's not going to be able to have confidence in his heart because his heart's going to condemn him. His sin is going to catch up with him, and the minute he starts to pray a prayer of faith, his heart's going to jump out of his chest and start screaming, "Liar, murderer, cheat, adulterer." I said, "Well, he never run around on his wife, but he's got an evil eye, and he looks at all the girls at work with that evil eye and undresses them from the neck down." The Lord says, under grace, if you look at a woman to lust after her in your heart, you're guilty of adultery. And then he also says, if you hate your brother, you're a murderer. How many people in church say, "I hate that guy," or "I hate that woman"? Hey, you're guilty of murder. You need to repent. You just cut yourself off from God. You can't get no prayers answered. No. Will that bring sickness and disease upon you? Yes. That'll bring sickness and disease upon you. It sure will. See, we don't understand. There's a consequence to sin. Wow. When you learn this, guess what you stop doing? You stop sinning. People say, "Well, I'm just a human being. I can't stop sinning." Let me tell you, you can't stop getting sick either with that kind of an attitude. But when you realize with the Holy Spirit in you, you can overcome sin. It's a done deal. You don't have to sin no more. The requirement of God is for you and me to walk holy before Him every day of our life. Walk in love. Walk in obedience to His Word. And then these demons of hell will not be able to touch you, and you can walk in divine health. You open no doors to the devil. Now then, he says in James chapter 1, verse 6 and 7 and 8, I want to read an awesome statement to you of what happens when you don't believe God. This will confirm why so many people don't receive anything from the Lord. In James chapter 1, verse 6 and 7, he says, "But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering." Now let him ask in what? Faith. How much wavering? None. No wavering. Now see, this is where that word "if," you've got to get that word out of your heart. You can't come in here and pray if you pray "if." What is that? What is that? That's wavering. You don't know what God's promises are. So he says, "Let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. For he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. For let not that man or person think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways." So when you ask God for something, how do you have to? You just have to pray. 100 people pray for you, and you don't expect, and they don't expect, and what happens? Nothing. That's right. We got a live case on our head right here. 100 people over many years prayed for her with not expecting nothing. They were double-minded in their ways, and God did not show up. But whenever she come to the reality, she must pray in faith. She must believe, expecting God's promises to work for her. That's just like Bobby Jones. Bobby Jones up at Lakeland Baptist Church. I was a deacon there for 20 years, at least 20 years. Sunday school teacher there all those years. I attended there at least 25 years of my life. Dr. Ben Smith is a wonderful man of God, loves God with all his heart, but he's virtually faithless. I've told him that to his face. He don't believe the Word of God. He said, Thurman, you challenged me. You put me to the test. He said, but that's good. You keep it up. We need men like you. I said, well, praise God. I just believe the Word. He said, before a huge congregation the other day, and I was there, he said, Thurman is a man of greatest faith anybody I ever seen, but said, the guy is so simple-minded. He said, he's pretty well educated, but said he's so simple-minded. If God said it, he just believes it, and he acts on it, so God always shows up for him. Now, isn't that amazing? Here, a doctor of theology, we got to do everything a certain way. No, but there's a man in his church by the name of Bobby Jones that sings in the choir. Bobby is 38 years old. He may be 39 now, but last May he was 38. And Bobby had broken his back in a football game at 14. He had been in excruciating pain from 14 to 38. He's now checking out all the doctors in the area. He realized he's got to have something done, but every doctor he goes to, everyone tells him, we can help you a little, but we're not going to be able to fix you. You're going to have a life of pain. Now, how many of you like to have a diagnosis like that? Not me. I mean, not with a book. So the National Day of Prayer last year in May, I was speaking at Flower Mound at the City Hall. And Miss Vicky, she knew him, and she went to church up there with him, and she knew me. So she invited me to come over and meet him, and I did. And she said, Thurman walks in the anointing of God, and he answers Thurman's prayers. So, Bobby, you need to talk to Thurman. So I told him, I said, Bobby, are you a Christian? He said, oh, yes. I said, you go to church? Oh, yeah. I said, do you tithe? Oh, yeah. I said, do you walk in love? Oh, yeah. So you don't have any unforgiveness or nothing? No. I said, so you're doing everything God told you to do? He said, yes, sir. He said, and I love singing in the choir and love bringing glory to God. But he said, they told me if I do this surgery where it is in my back, it could affect my vocal cords and I might never be able to sing again. And so he said, I put it off as long as I could, but now the pain is so excruciating, I got to get some kind of relief. I said, would you repent for unbelief? He said, well, Thurman, I'm not an unbeliever. I said, oh, yeah, you are. I said, let me quote a promise to you from God's Word. I had him turn, and I had a Bible. I opened it to Matthew 18:19. I said, now, Bobby, I want you to read this promise from our Jesus. Matthew 18:19. Now, I want you to think about this promise. Jesus is talking, and he says, again, I tell you that if two of you on earth agree about anything you ask me for, it shall be done for you by my Father which is in heaven. Now, what kind of a promise is that? Is that an awesome guarantee from our King? I said, so see, you either didn't know that or you're unbelieving. So I said, you need to repent of unbelief. He said, Thurman, I've read that, but I didn't really think it meant what it said. I said, well, pray tell, what do you think God meant when he made a statement like that? He said, Thurman, that's too powerful. I said, that's what's wrong with us. See, we listen to the devil instead of God. I said, repent and tell the Lord you're sorry. He said, Lord, I'm sorry. I didn't believe that. I said, now, Bobby, I'm going to pray for you, and I'm going to agree in prayer with you that the Lord's going to heal you. I said, he's going to send his Holy Spirit, and he's going to completely redo your back, and you're going to wake up in the morning with absolutely no pain. I said, can you agree with that? He said, yes, Jesus said it. Lord, I'm sorry, I haven't believed. Bobby Jones goes home. The next morning, he wakes up, and absolutely, for the first time since 14 years old, absolutely not a single pain. And from then till now, he has stood up. In fact, they gave me a copy of the CD the other day, just a few weeks ago, where he stood up in both services at Lakeland Baptist Church, a humongous Baptist church where I used to be. I started there when there was 200 people, and I left there when there was 2,500 people, so I know a lot of people at Lakeland. And most of the people there knew I was a man of great faith because I was not a normal, traditional Southern Baptist. In fact, Al, one of the deacons there, when I left to go out, when we moved out on our farm, he came to me at night and he said, Thurman, there's a lot of people in this church I forget when they leave. But he said, I'll never forget you. Never forget you. I mean, you know, when a guy does a few crazy things for Jesus and he shows up and does a few wonderful miracles, they never forget who you are. Praise God. But see, that's what we should all be doing. We should believe the Word. But Bobby Jones woke up the next morning after the National Day of Prayer last May without a back pain. And he has been without back pain, just like you, from that day to this. You talk about a man that's grateful. Now, from 14 years of age to 38 years of age, that is a lot of years to suffer. How long has that Matthew 18:19 been in the book? 2,000 years. That's right, brother. So what's wrong with us? We don't believe, do we? Our God give us a book full of promises and we don't believe Him. Since He's a God of faith, and if you don't believe Him, what are you going to get from Him?
Nothing.
That's exactly right. Nothing. So I think it's time we start believing. Now then, according to Romans chapter 10, verses 8 through 14, your miracle is in your mouth. Now this is how simple God made it. Your miracle is in your mouth. Now I want you to listen to these scriptures, to read them through with me in Romans 10, and starting with verse 8. But what saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in your mouth and in your heart. Now where is the word? In your mouth and in your heart. The word of faith which we preach. The what? The word of faith. Now this is a seed. We're sowing the seed in your heart today. The word of faith. Now not just words, but words of faith. Words of God. That's what faith is. The word of God. So this seed, this incorruptible seed, which is the word of God, when we sow it in our hearts, when it becomes a reality to us, what's in a man's heart comes out where? His mouth, the word of God says. So if the word is in your heart, it will come out of your mouth, and then your miracle will be in your mouth. It says in verse 9, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shall believe in your heart that God has raised Him from the dead, you will be sozo. Right there in the English, it's translated saved. Now then, for with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the Scripture saith, whosoever believeth on Him, Jesus, shall not be ashamed. For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon Him. So it's the same Lord. He said Jew and Greek, but what if you're Baptist? What if you're Church of Christ? What if you're Methodist? What if you're Episcopal? What if you're Lutheran? Who is the same Lord?
Jesus.
He is our Lord. It doesn't make any difference what denomination you're attached to. If you're a believer in the King of the universe, there's only one, and His name is Jesus. Jesus, He's the King. For whosoever, in verse 13, for whosoever, now are you a whosoever?
Right.
Yes. So whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be sozo, healed, made whole, delivered, preserved. I think about this precious little lady and her husband that usually sits right over here, Dan and Sarah. Just a few weeks ago, Sarah run over an embankment and went off and done a complete roll in her car. And she had a Grand Cherokee Jeep station wagon. And as she run over that off of that embankment and starts up, she screams, Jesus, sozo me. See, she's learned the meaning of this. So she don't have to spit out all five of them. She said, sozo me, Lord. And the car goes over, rolls completely over, totally destroys the car, breaks all the glasses out of the car, glass everywhere, winds up on its wheels in a creek 20 feet below. And when the police get there, they have to open the back of the car. Can't get none of the doors open. They open the back of the car, help her crawl out over it. Not one piece of glass is on her. Glasses all over the whole car. The police officer crawled in there, got glass all over him. And he said, woman, I don't understand. I crawled up, helped you get out, and I've got glass all over me. And even where you crawled, there's not a piece of glass that even sticks to you. Now, when she called upon the Lord to sozo her, what did He do? He sozoed her. Her husband told us, he said, I can reach up and pinch Sarah on the arm, and she'll have a bruise. And said the next day, after a wreck like that, she did not have one sore muscle in her body and not one little place of discoloration on her body. Not one. Not even where her seatbelt went across her and helped her. Had no bruises or nothing. When you cry out to the Lord in faith, what does He do? He shows up. Yes, He does. He shows up. Praise God. Now, what if Sarah hadn't known the word sozo? What if she had been a normal, traditional Christian lady, and she just went over that and didn't know how to call on the name of the Lord? What might have happened? Who knows? She might have been killed. I mean, there's no telling what might have happened there. I got a question over here, so let me get the mic over here for this little lady to ask me a question.
Actually, it's not a question. I remember something. I was driving on Loop 820, going up to 287 South, perhaps. And it was ice. It was in April of several years ago. And I came up, and I knew I was in trouble. I knew there was no way I was going to hit the ice. And the only thing I knew how to say was, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. And you wouldn't believe this. My car stopped right at the edge where it was supposed to go down several feet. And I just thanked the Lord, and my heart was beating, you know, wild. And it was just an incredible miracle of God. And I knew an angel stopped the car.
Amen. See, that's what happens when we call on our Lord. Now, our Lord did not leave us on this earth with nothing. He left us with everything, and He left us with all these promises. And He tells us, just ask in My name. The name of Jesus is the most powerful thing in the universe. So you need to learn that and act upon that. So where is your miracle according to Romans 10? In your mouth. The most important thing you do is whatever you speak with your mouth. Because what's in your mouth is what's in your heart. So when the seed becomes sown in your heart, the Word of God will begin to come out of your mouth. So that's just like a little Emily Dodson. She was 53 years old. She had had 13 surgeries in her life. Traditional, denominational person. I won't say which one. But her pastors had never spoken about the healing power of Jesus. Now she's had 13 surgeries. Now then she's going to have a 14th surgery. She's got terminal cancer. And the doctor says, one more surgery, you might live 6 more months. And she said, forget it. I'm just going to go home and die. I said, I've been cut and stuck so many times, I'm not going through another one. She said, I'm just going to go die and go home and be with Jesus. And then some little guy like me comes along and tells her she don't have to die. She's got a choice. And she thinks, I got a choice? She didn't know that. Well, see, you can't go beyond knowledge of God's Word. So she was told these things that I'm telling you. She began to get a hold of it. She began to stand on the Word. And for the next 3 months, she didn't gain any ground, didn't lose any ground, but she didn't have much to fight with. She only had just a few verses. And then she started sowing more seed in her heart, learning more and more about the Word, getting tapes from people, studying the Word, standing on them. And as she sowed more of God's Word in her heart, she got bolder and bolder and bolder. And finally, it took that woman from the day she was told she was going to die until she came out the other end without a sign of cancer in her body. It took her 1 year. But at the end of that year, that woman came out totally healed. She did not go back to a doctor. She refused to let a doctor touch her. She said, if Jesus healed me, I don't need a doctor. He's all I need. And she's where I am now. I hadn't been to a doctor in years. It doesn't matter what happens in my physical body. I stand on the Word of God. And He takes care of me. I don't care how bad I tear myself up out there in the engineering world or working. Whatever I do, and I've had some pretty bad things happen to me, I just stand on the Word, and the Lord heals and restores me, and with no scars or no nothing. He is just awesome. But you have to stand on His Word. But Emily come through, and she came through with no doctors. She came out at the end of a year, totally healed. That's been about 15 years ago, and that little woman is one of the most balls of fire that I know today for the kingdom of God. Now, the devil had beat up on her big time. And in the last 15 years, Emily Dodson has not had a sick day. Now, to think of a woman had 13 surgeries by the time she was 53. And in the last 15 years, I think she's about 3 years older than I am. But boy, is she a ball of fire. She's a little petite thing about that big. Probably weighs about 100 pounds soaking wet. But she is a thorn in the side of the devil today. He beat up on her a lot of years, but boy, is she a thorn in his side now. Woo! I mean, she can grab a hold of a woman and shake her and throw the devil out of her. I mean, that's awesome. That girl is tough. I mean, she knows what's in there's the devil, and she'll shake him out of you. I'm telling you, she is something else. Now then, after we see what we can do there, Let's go to some scriptures that absolutely are very clear that prove that healing is for all of us. Let's go cover some of these in extremely good detail. Now then, let's go to Isaiah 53. Now this is the most awesome chapter in the book of the Word of God that was put in there over 700 years before Christ come, telling what He was going to do. In Isaiah 53, first of all, I want to start in verse 1, because that first line is such an awesome line. Who has believed the report of the Lord? Well, it's unfortunate today that I was raised up and I didn't believe the report of the Lord. If you'd asked me, Thurman, do you believe God? I'd have said, of course I do. But I didn't. I didn't know what it said. Although I'd been a Bible studies teacher for 20 years, I mean, I'd been serving God all of my life. I mean, raised up in a good Christian home, went to church every time the doors opened, but I didn't know anything about it. So anyway, it says, who has believed the report, and to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant, and as a root out of a dry ground. He has no form nor comeliness or beauty about him, and when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. He's talking about Jesus there. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows, acquainted with griefs or pain. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised and we esteemed him not. Now the word sorrows up in verse 3 is translated sickness everywhere else in the King James Bible. But that word there in the Hebrew, they translated it sorrows and acquainted with grief. And everywhere else, those two words are translated pains and sickness. So he was a man of sickness and acquainted with grief or pain. Verse 4, surely he has borne our griefs or our pains, and he has carried our sorrows or our sicknesses. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. If we got our sins confessed, when we come to Jesus and ask him, if we just come to Jesus and ask him to forgive our sins in the past, just to let us come into the kingdom and to accept him as Lord and Savior, when we do that by faith, how many of us will he turn away? None. Now then, what if you had been a wicked murderer? What if you were in prison and you had been a murderer of 50 people? You had brutally murdered 50 people, but now you realize that Jesus is the Savior and you come to him. You reckon he could save you as a wicked murderer? Yes. The blood of Jesus. I mean, it is powerful enough to wash away every sin on the earth. God was reconciling the world to himself through his own Son, so that us, anyone that'll come to him at any time, regardless of what we've done, can be saved. And I praise him for that. I think we're just about ready to stop this one, aren't we, Dave? Isn't that about 90 minutes? How much do I like? 4 or 5. Okay, we'll go ahead just a little further then. All we, like sheep, have gone astray. We have turned away everyone to his own way. And the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. Isn't that amazing? Look at verse 10. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He hath put him to pain or grief. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed. He shall prolong his days. And the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. He shall see the travail of his soul, and shall be satisfied by his knowledge, and shall by a righteous servant justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities. Now then, look at a scripture that confirms this so clear in Matthew 8. When we cover this one, then we'll stop. Matthew 8, 16 and 17. I want you to see what Jesus said through the Apostle Matthew about what we just read in Matthew in Isaiah 53. In Matthew 8, 16 and 17, when the evening was come, they brought unto him many that were possessed with devils, and he cast out the spirits with his word and healed all of the sick, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, Himself, Jesus, took our infirmities and bare our sicknesses. Now, if Jesus took our infirmities and bare our sicknesses, why in the world do we carry them? Why do we allow the devil to come upon us? I'll tell you why. Because of many reasons. One of them is unbelief. One of them is the lack of knowledge. If you don't know that Jesus healed you on the cross 2,000 years ago, you don't know that He bore your sickness. You do not know that He bore your sins. So you go out and sin. When you go out and sin, you're opening a door to the demonic world. Now, what if your sin is only unbelief? When the devil comes to you with unbelief, this precious little lady sitting here right here, we talked about a while ago, her sin of unbelief, how many years did she say it kept her down with her back? 30 years? Only the sin of unbelief allowed the devil to come in and attacked her, and for 30 years she was down with sickness and disease, and all time these promises were in God's Word for 2,000 years? The seed had not been sown in her heart. It wasn't sown in my heart. But when I did sow it in my heart, just like you, bam, the seed came forth, it sprung forth speedily, and the crop came forth, and she got her healing. But now she's one of thousands of people that I've seen this happen to. Well, Jesus there in verse 17, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, Himself took our infirmities and bare our sicknesses. So if you've got a sickness, all you've got to do is repent of your sins and begin to claim the promises of God. And the healing will be yours. It cannot fail.